Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
Jeff Brohm is a wanted man at Purdue and now likely at Louisville. We'll discuss Purdue's second-year coach and the opening at Louisville on the Golden Black Radio podcast, plus take a look back at the Boilermakers' disappointing loss at Minnesota on Saturday. I'm Kyle Charters, Brian Huber here, Matt Stevens by in a few minutes to talk about the game, but let's talk first of all about the Brohm-Louisville Bobby Petrino news that came out on Sunday, Louisville firing Bobby Petrino despite the hefty buyout that it will have to pay. They will move on, looking at a new head coach of that program, and candidate number one, it seems pretty clearly, is Purdue's Jeff Brohm. Brian, a lot to sort of digest about all of that. I think it became a situation at Louisville where it felt like, despite the money involved, it just could not continue down the Bobby Petrino path, and now that coaching job will be open, and that pretty directly influences Purdue both right now, perhaps for the next couple of weeks, and maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, I think we live in a time. I don't cover Louisville, obviously, but I think we live in a time, obviously, where fan bases guide athletic directors' hands oftentimes. And you get into situations, and Purdue was just in one a couple years ago, where you just pass the point of no return. You just cannot proceed with the guy you have because you have lost your fan base. And that's the situation they ran into with Bobby Petrino. Very quickly, I might add, it wasn't all that long ago that, you know, they had some very good teams. They had a Heisman winner, and it all just kind of blew up on them this year. And they ate a lot of money to do this. And, you know, now obviously everybody on the planet knows who the number one call they make is. I wouldn't anticipate Jeff Brohm talking to them formally until after the season. I know nobody in a shirt with a little red bird on it has formally offered him the job, I would imagine, but he's been offered the job. Essentially, he's been offered the job through the media. He's been offered the job through common sense. Everybody knows who Louisville wants here. And it's going to be a matter of just what Jeff Brohm wants. He's going to have to make a decision here. Everybody at Purdue, I'm sure, knew this day was coming. It perhaps came a little bit sooner than people might've anticipated, but I know Purdue, during the hiring process, even got out in front of this and asked questions about what's going to happen the day Louisville opens. I can't quote his response because I was not in those meetings, obviously. But obviously the response Purdue got was not such that it scared them away from wanting to hire Jeff Brohm, nor should it have. You obviously want to get a good coach. You want to get the coach you want, and if this becomes an issue, that tends to be a good problem to have. But I think that good problem to have is probably coming up a little bit sooner than anybody would have liked. Now, there's obviously no telling what Jeff Brohm is going to do here. He's going to have to make this decision. I don't think anything is even close to being decided here. I think a lot of people are getting out in front of this, getting ahead of themselves in terms of just kind of assuming he's going back home. I don't think things are that cut and dry. Very rarely in coaching searches do things pan out exactly as everyone thinks they're going to. That just is not the reality in college coaching hires anymore. And people who think this is a simple point A to point B probably are getting ahead of themselves here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem all that long ago, and it wasn't, that Louisville had a Heisman Trophy winner and its sights set on possibly making the college football playoff. That was the opener of last season when Purdue and Jeff Brohm played them in Lucas Oil Stadium. It's amazing how much for Louisville has changed since then. Jeff Brohm will talk to the media at his usual presser a couple days after a game. He'll do that today at 11 o'clock, just about an hour from when we're recording this podcast right now. What, if anything, do you anticipate him saying?
Probably not much. I wouldn't think so. And it will be interesting to see if there's anybody up here from Louisville to cover this. There very well might be. He's obviously going to be asked about it. What he says may or may not even be even revealing. But sometimes there is a language coaches have to be fluent in for situations like kinda full of qualifiers, like my focus at this moment is on Purdue, you know, kind of stuff like that. Then sometimes, you know, there's really something to this. I wouldn't anticipate an outright denial of interest, just because I don't think that that's how coaches tend to handle these things, because you never know what's going to happen. You just never know what's going to happen. Things could change in 2 weeks. You might feel one way today. You might feel another way 2 weeks from now. You don't want to box yourself into a corner. The one thing I will tell you about Jeff Brohm is that, having kind of watched the way he handled himself closely during the whole Purdue hiring process, he did go to great lengths to not lie to people. And when you look at what he's telling recruits, and I don't know what he's telling recruits because I'm not there. I'm not part of those conversations. I don't know if what he's telling them is full of qualifiers, like I mentioned before. I don't know if he's saying stuff like, it's not my plan right now to leave Purdue. I don't know if he's saying that as opposed to, I'm not leaving Purdue. But whatever he is telling recruits, he is putting their minds decisively at ease. It was 72 hours ago that a very, very highly recruited player in the city of Louisville, I might add, who is in the epicenter of all the speculation about Jeff Brohm leaving, committed to Purdue. And that particular recruit, Milton Wright, early in the process, was one of the most wigged-out recruits Purdue recruited in this recruiting cycle about Jeff Brohm's status. I know Rondell Moore last year, this was the last obstacle they had to overcome to get him. They had to convince him he was going to be at Purdue. What about Rondell Moore? He is at Purdue. He chose Jeff Brohm. He didn't choose Purdue. That is the simple reality of recruiting nowadays. If Jeff Brohm leaves Purdue, what happens to Rondell Moore? You know, there's so much goes into this that, with college football coaches especially, your decisions are tied to literally dozens of people. Their lots in life are tied to your decision, and it's not something to be taken lightly. I'm not saying that he would ever take this kind of decision lightly, but I also don't think he's going to run around and tell people things that he doesn't really mean. And that's part of what he is, from what we know about him as a person. He's a pretty genuine guy. But we also do have some validation of that from the way he handled the Western Kentucky situation. I know there's some contextual differences between leaving Western Kentucky, where everybody knows you're going to leave one day when you're successful, and making what would largely be a lateral move from Purdue to Louisville here, in the way you handle things. But he is a guy who is typically pretty upfront about stuff, pretty respectful about stuff. I know this wouldn't, if he leaves, it's not about Purdue. He likes Purdue. He loves Mike Babinski. He's been treated fairly here. He's been supported. He is going to do right by Purdue here. This isn't going to be a fly by night, tell everyone I'm staying, and then pack up the moving truck in the middle of the night and leave kind of thing. He's going to do right by Purdue, but he's also in a situation where his alma mater's on the other end of the line here. He's going to do right by them as well. He's in a really, really unique position here, shall we say. But
yeah,
I do think whatever he said today could be revealing. It could not be revealing.
I feel like we've gotten to know him a little bit from a media head coach point of view over the last couple of years, but we still don't know, you know, really all that motivates him a little bit. And the question for me is just how strong right now is that pull back to Louisville? You know, there is a pull there for all the obvious reasons. He played.
Yeah.
His brothers played, his dad's played, dude, you know, first family of football of Louisville. That's the really the question that needs to be answered, right? That we can't, even if you feel like you know him a little bit, you don't know him well enough to be able to answer that, right?
Well, let me just kind of set the stage here for Louisville a little bit. If he goes to Louisville, he is the favorite son. The whole city is behind the University of Louisville. The whole media in a major metropolitan area is 100% on board, because those guys there have covered him since he was a boy, and they know him. It would be, everything would be positive. He would own that city in recruiting. He would get all of the players that Louisville is not getting right now, and he would own that city in recruiting. And I know that because I know how high school coaches feel about him. In that city, I know how much positive publicity he will get. I know how good a recruiter he is. He will get all of those players. there are no barriers to winning at Louisville. No barriers to winning whatsoever. He would have absolute support all across the board in every sense of the term, support. At Purdue, he has absolute support right now. There are significantly fewer barriers to winning than there used to be. He's got 2 years of, I guess as we'll call it, sweat equity into this program that have really yielded results so far. The fan base is completely on board. The Big Ten West has shown this year that you can win at Purdue at a high level because of the way the division split and the favorability of where Purdue is in that whole mix right now. Purdue is a very different deal than it used to be here. And it is a very attractive situation. And he has a really good situation right now. He would have a really good situation if he goes to Louisville. It's just a matter of what he wants. I know for a fact, for an absolute fact, Louisville has been a destination job for him coming up in the profession. I'm talking about that in the past tense. I don't know what it is right now. I don't know if that's still the case now that he has made that jump into the high major ranks as a head coach. I know that job means a lot to him. I know that city, that school means a lot to him. I know that has always been one of his target jobs. And here it is sitting right in front of him. Now, what he wants, if he wants to coach at Louisville, and he very well may, he is 47 years old. He's in his first high major coaching job. He's got the majority of his career still ahead of him. Right now, Purdue to Louisville, with all he's invested in Purdue over the last 2 years, with the financial situation being what it is, and I have to think Purdue can come up with some more money for him if that matters in all of this. I don't think this is a decision made solely on money, but I do think money matters. This is a coach who I think isn't a big money guy, but I think long-term security for his family is important to him the way it would be important to any of us. I think a lot goes into this in that sense. But it is largely a lateral move. Louisville's roster is a mess right now. I know Purdue is aware of that. They recruit against Louisville. They know who they have. They watch Louisville. They know the deal there. I think Jeff Brohm probably more than anything wants to win. I think he probably wants to win a national title. Can you win a national title at Purdue? That is debatable. Can you win a national title at Louisville? That's, I don't know. I really don't know. But neither of them are springboards to national titles. That's how we will put it. If he wants to win a national title, I don't know what to do. If he wants to coach in the NFL one day, I don't know what he should do. I don't know what he wants. I don't know what his career aspiration is other than to win football games. And I think he will win football games wherever he is. So it all comes down to, I think, what he wants from a career aspirational perspective and just how deep those ties run in terms of a job he's always wanted. How strong is that pull home?
And how strong is that pull home right now? Because Louisville will be there today. It'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there 5 years from now. It'll be there 10 years from now. It's just a matter of whether the pull is strong enough for him at this very moment. I think that's the question that me or you can't answer. It's hard for us to do so, but Jeff Brohm might know the answer to that. He might know it soon. Much more on the site at goldenblack.com, including Brian's thoughts, more on the Jeff Brohm situation. And, of course, there will be more reporting after today's press conference as well. Hey, thanks, Brian.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll bring in Matt Stevens. We'll talk a little bit about the football game itself, which somehow has become an afterthought this week. But we'll do that here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chop salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette. Welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And lost in the news from Sunday is the news from Saturday. The Boilermakers laying an egg big time in Minneapolis, dropping to the Gophers 41-10. It was both the most points allowed by Purdue in the Jeff Brohm era and the least points scored, which is a bad combination. Kyle Charters here with Matt Stevens, who was up in the Twin Cities to cover the game. Matt, what happened?
A really, really bad loss, the worst loss in the Jeff Brohm era. You kind of put it bluntly, Kyle. Score the least amount of points in the Jeff Brohm era, and you allow the most points in the Jeff Brohm era. I don't know. I'm not a math major, but that usually results in a loss. And everything kind of happened that Purdue needed to not have happen. The deep passing game was non-existent, and they couldn't stop the run. The run fits were terrible, and I think, as I put in our film in the film review Sunday, I think we might have found Purdue's most valuable player, and it's not David Blau. And surprisingly, it might not be Rondell Moore. It might be Jacob Thienemann. And the reason I say that is because Purdue's defense still has to be good for this team to win football games. And I think we found out that 41, Jacob Thienemann, is the guy that gets everybody lined up pre-snap and knows what he's supposed to be doing after the snap. So I don't really want to downplay just one injury. But if Jacob Thienemann's out for a long time, and it seemed like after the loss, Jeff Brohm indicated that he would be, this could be a major problem for Purdue's defense. And I just don't know if anybody else is capable of getting this team rallied back to being able to stop the run as effectively as they need to.
Yeah, certainly Thienemann's injury affected Purdue's defense. It probably had very little impact on Purdue's offense. What was the game plan offensively for Purdue?
It seemed like the game plan was to try to hit deep shots, and Minnesota specifically said when under their new defensive coordinator and, quite frankly, a little bit new defensive plan, we're going to keep everybody in front of us. And whether that means you're not going to be able to throw it over the top, or we're going to – they seemingly allowed Purdue to have the intermediate and short passing game. And Purdue, in the classic Jeff Brohm sense, which you cannot blame Jeff Brohm for because it has produced big wins and big plays all year long, he has said repeatedly that Purdue's not set up to have long drives. It's not set up for the 10-play, the 12-play, the 15-play drive. Well, that's exactly what it seemed like Minnesota's defense was going to give you on Saturday. And yet Purdue tried to – continually take deep shots. And I wouldn't even say that. I just felt like they tried it early on and it didn't work. And then they just had no plan B, it seemed like. And by the time they tried to go to a plan B, they were down 20-3. And so at that point, you're really in a really bad spot anyway. So just to kind of sum it up, Jeff Brohm, I thought, did it really, really well. Nothing worked. I don't care if it was offense, defense, or special teams, really. Nothing really worked. And that's the result you get, even against a reeling Minnesota team, when nothing's going to work, especially on the road.
I called this morning on the radio Purdue underprepared, and I felt like it was really the first time I felt that way with Jeff Brohm as the head coach. They lost a bad game to Rutgers last year. They lost to Eastern Michigan. But in this one, I just felt Purdue wasn't right. What do you think?
I used a word that starts with over. I thought it was for the first time for Jeff Brohm kind of gave hints to that in the post-game press conference, which was basically to say you know, I think our guys just rolled in there and thought the ball was going to bounce their way a couple of times and they would get a win. And I think for the first time in the Jeff Brohm era, Purdue showed up to the park and just thought they could roll to a victory. And that's not like him. That's not like Purdue. And that's certainly not a, you know, traditionally, you know, something you would say about a Jeff Brohm team here at Purdue in the 23-game tenure. So that was a first. And I think that they might have been underprepared, Kyle, but I definitely think they were overconfident.
The discipline issues cropped up a little bit again. I'm not sure it had much of an effect on who won the game, but not a good thing to see when Purdue is in its 10th game of the season. Of course, Cornell Jones picks up one, which has been pretty familiar with how he has picked those up. He's even, you know, gotten away with the headbutt a couple of times and not been flagged for it. What does Purdue do about not just him, but about some of the discipline issues that they continue to have here in the second half of the season?
Boy, I don't know, because they're like, again, it comes at a position that's just not filled with depth. I guess you could play Jalen Alexander over Cornell Jones at middle linebacker, I suppose, but you're not exactly making your football team better. I don't know if you do that. I would counter your argument that it didn't have much to do with the final score, because I'm sitting here watching a game that's at 10-3. And Minnesota's got a 3rd and 8, and Purdue gets a sack. And so, essentially, Minnesota's going to have to either kick a 47-yard field goal in really bad conditions or go for it on 4th and 7. And you're still only down 7 points. And Cornell Jones turns to Minnesota's left guard and headbutts him. And that's an automatic flag. I mean, he has to know that. And that allowed the drive to continue. And so, from that standpoint, you know, maybe Minnesota doesn't score on that drive, and maybe Purdue can mount some momentum at that point. But that was a momentum shifting play. And then there were two others where, you know, Giovanni Revere gets a personal foul. Robert McWilliams gets the hands to the face, which is just it's something that they're taught in practice to not do. I mean, I know this for a fact. And so they just went about everything they did from a irresponsibility standpoint, and from a, you know, fundamental standpoint, they regressed in that regard. And I thought it was a major issue. I thought their inability to fit the run on defense and their inability to stay somewhat responsible in terms of the penalties was what killed them. I think they could have gotten some offensive momentum if the game had stayed within maybe a score or two, and they never got that chance because the defense just didn't help itself.
So I'm pretty much done predicting Purdue this season, whether it's going to win or lose, because I have been wrong, I believe, at least the last 4 weeks, including this weekend, as many of us were, against Minnesota. You know, it's been such a weird season. We go from feeling like, you know, Purdue's going to lose the season at 0-3 to Purdue can get back in not only to the postseason, but maybe they can win the West. To now suddenly at 5-5, you're looking at Wisconsin, which traditionally here, at least in the last 10 years, has not been a good matchup at all from a physicality point of view, after a game in which Purdue somehow got out-physicaled by Minnesota, and then going to Indiana, and Purdue pretty clearly now, it seems, is a much better team at home than it is on the road. So, you know, they're favored against Wisconsin this weekend, but man, the feeling is, especially with all the other potential distraction that Purdue has this week, the feeling is you just got to find a way to get to 6 wins at this point, right?
The feeling is that I would lose a lot of money in the desert if I was betting on Purdue this year. There's just no doubt about that. And I feel like I would lose it again this week because I don't know who I'm going to predict. And I open up my laptop and I find out that, at least offshore, Purdue's a touchdown favorite against Wisconsin. And not knowing anything we knew about Purdue in August, Kyle, if I'd have walked up to you and I said, hey, Kyle, Purdue's going to be a touchdown favorite at home against Wisconsin on senior day, you'd have looked at me like I was nuts, and you'd have wondered why Golden Black hired me, because I have no clue as to what I'm talking about. Well, we suddenly sit here today on Monday morning, and Purdue, at least offshore, I haven't seen a Vegas line yet, but at least offshore is 6.5. The line has moved from 4.5 to 6.5. So not only did Purdue open as a favorite, which I didn't think would happen, it's now moved more toward Purdue by a couple of points. I have no idea what that's about, other than I know that Wisconsin has quarterback issues, not only because Alex Cornerbrook is hurt, but the depth behind him has not been very good. And they really haven't been able to bully people like they thought they would this year. You know, I'm going back to the BYU loss, the Penn State loss, you know, and the loss they picked up. They picked up along the way. They just haven't been able to physically bully people like they have in the past. And I don't know, but if I'll tell you this, if Purdue doesn't get its run fit figured out on Tuesday and Wednesday of practice, I don't know what that line means, but I know that if Wisconsin can run the ball, and I don't know right now, based on what I saw last Saturday, Purdue's going to be able to do anything about it. I don't know how Purdue, you know, holds them at bay, but you're right. Purdue has just been a completely different team at home than they have been on the road. And I think that's part of, you know, building off the emotion of what a senior day is going to be when you know it's going to be the last game of, say, David Blau at Ross State Stadium, and other seniors that have been important to this team. Maybe that's enough to get you the sixth win. I don't know who I'm going to pick yet, but I definitely don't think it's as far away of a spread as what the offshore lines seem to suggest right now. I just don't believe that.
Right. Should be an intriguing week. Matt, we'll look for your reports on goldenblack.com. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, we need to take another break. We'll be back to put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help sell your house while helping you find the next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And what a week it will be. Jeff Brohm, speculation about Louisville, Purdue trying to recover from its loss at Minnesota. Plenty more on the site at goldandblack.com. Also, be sure to listen to the Golden Black Radio Express for Brian's thoughts on Purdue's victory against Ball State in men's basketball from Saturday. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Brian Newbert and Matt Stevens, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.